a special edition of the Game Informer Show podcast. I'm Ben Hansen, joined with J.V. Gwaltney.
Hi, everyone.
J.V. Gwaltney, you wrote the cover story for Dreams. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
Remember, we went to Media Molecule over there in Guildford, England, and had a wonderful time spending 2 days at the studio that we've been, and we've been rolling out like a month of coverage on that, hopefully highlighting everything people would want to know. Mm-hmm. But it turns out there's still a million things that people have questions about when it comes to Dreams.
Okay, yeah.
Along the month of coverage, like, we've tried to frame that, hey, this is just a game engine. Like, the sooner you can wrap your mind around that, so like those questions of, can you make this type of game? Can you make this type of game? Can you make this type of game? The answer is always yes, but as they like to say, it just varies on how difficult it's going to be to make that.
Yeah,
type
how much
of game.
Pain do you want in your life? I think is how Mark Healy, the creative director, put it.
Right. And so we have a lot more questions, very specific questions beyond that. It's basically people asking questions about a game engine, which is wild but appropriate for Dreams on the PS4. So on this episode of the podcast, we have Mark Healy, creative director for Dreams, and Siobhan Reddy, the studio director over at Media Molecule, to answer as many questions as possible, pulled from the community. We had a post up on GameInformer.com and YouTube looking for questions and a lot of good stuff in there. We should point out this is a bonus episode of the Game Informer show, and we do have a regular episode of the show every Thursday evening featuring Ooh. Game Informer editors sharing information on the next Game Informer cover story, because we do this cycle every single month. So beginning of next month, there's a whole new round starting that should be very interesting, J.V. Gwaltney.
Oh.
But without further ado, here is Mark and Siobhan. Mark and Siobhan, welcome to the Game Informer show, guys.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you. Okay, so Dreams, I really thought I had seen every possible question the community could have about Dreams. And then we posted a thing on the site. We have so many good questions for you guys, but it's very techie, nerdy stuff, if you're cool with that.
Yep, good.
I'll have a good go.
Awesome. And also just a heads up for listeners here, like, normally we try and make these things flow a little bit, because like, oh, here's the multiplayer questions, here's the single player questions. For Dreams, it's going to be very tough to make it flow. It is a scattershot of people wanting precise details on essentially a funky game engine, as you guys could probably imagine.
Okay. Well, I think it will be you, Mark.
Well, let's see. See if my brain works.
All right. What about just like an intro for you guys? Do you want to just quickly run through your history in the game industry? Like, Siobhan, just so listeners have a framework for where you're coming from here.
Well, I joined the games industry about 20 years ago and spent a long part of the beginning part of my career making driving games. Made a game called Burnout, which people loved.
So much.
And then that was really great. And then I joined The Molecule back in 2006. And that's what we've been doing since then. So my job is, I'm the studio director here, but that my sort of pathway through in my career has been production. So I'm like a cat herder is sort of how I describe it, which I think is probably the most sort of accurate, a wild cat herder. Wild, creative, independent cat herder.
It is amazing how much respect, if I may kiss your ass a little bit, Siobhan, how much respect you have in the studio. Everyone always just looks up to like, oh, got to run this by Siobhan. Siobhan is really running this show. So it seems like you're doing a good job herding those cats.
Thank you. I try hard.
All right. And Mark, as a cat, where do you come from?
Me. So I'm quite old now. So I started back in the 80s. On the Commodore 64. It was my first love, if you like. That's when there was a wave of kind of home computers that first came into the market. So I started on that, started learning to program, and I made got a game published by Codemasters, who still exist, I think.
They do, yep.
But they used to release these like pocket money games for like £2 or something. So I got one of those. That was my foot in the door. So I actually got my foot in the door in the industry as a programmer, but I used to do graphics as well. And then I very quickly just did graphics because it was much less of a headache and I liked art. So I actually worked for most of my life in the industry as an animator, as an artist slash animator. But I always kept my hand in the programming pie, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, so, I think some point on the cover story trip, you mentioned that you made all the graphics for Dungeon Keeper?
Not most of them, like literally 97% or something.
That's insane.
Literally the only thing I didn't do in that game was the very first map screen that you see when you're looking out the window.
Yeah.
But other than that, I literally did everything down to the fonts and the icons and everything.
That's so cool.
It was normal back in those days, though.
I know. Everyone had to wear many hats.
Yeah.
Every job.
But I do miss those days a little bit, because it meant that it was really easy to have a very consistent look to the graphics. when you're working with a big team of people, obviously you get a lot more done, and there's cooler ideas, but sometimes it's a struggle to sort of get things to sort of gel together.
Yeah.
Flip side of that.
My read on your career, and tell me if this is correct or incorrect, is you just had a lifetime of dealing with engines, being frustrated with game engines. You mentioned it's a headache earlier, and now Dreams is your payback. This is you saying, this is how it should have been throughout my entire goddamn career.
Well, I mean, even when I had the Commodore 64, the thing that I was searching for was something that made it easy to make games. And it didn't really exist. Well, there was a thing on the Commodore called Shoot 'Em Up Construction Kit, which was quite nice for making little shooty games. But you had to learn machine code, basically. But now, when we've got much more powerful computers, we can actually have software that does make it easier. So Little Big Planet, for example, or you know, things like Unity and Unreal Engine and all that are sort of normal now, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's what I was always looking for. And Dreams is the exact perfect manifestation of what I was looking for.
This is it. If you had it your whole life. Okay, we have so many community questions. Let's get to it. Okay. Obviously, you can probably imagine this. Number one question by a mile. Thousands of people. Well, dozens. Ask a question like Sean Vertigo here. When is the beta? What's happening
this
here?
This year. This year?
Feeling confident about this year?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think we're committed to it now.
We're definitely going to get it out to people because we really need, you know, we need to learn from the community. So we're very excited to be able to open the doors and, you know, bring in a group of people to kind of give us that sort of next set of feedback because we've been using it for a long time now. So it's time to get some more, to get some more people in. So we're really excited about that. And particularly like our community have been so patient. So, you know, we're working very hard to get it out to them.
Yeah.
I mean, no one wants to release it more than we do.
Yeah.
So we're not holding it back for any other reason that it's just we just can't until it's good enough, you know.
So. Are you so within this year? Are you leaning more sooner or later?
Well, there's not much left to the year, anyway. <isn't> So it'll definitely be before
the end of the year.
God damn it, you guys! All right, okay. Couple specifics here. Ben Goodwood wants to know: will the beta be open or closed?
What does that mean?
Is it going to be a pre-order bonus only, or how does this work? Can anybody get into this thing?
Like a limited number of people, you mean?
Yeah.
We've talked about signups, but I don't think we have a number limit per se. It's just that.
There'll be signups, and I don't think we've quite figured out what the limit will be, or if there will be a limit yet. So that's kind of what we're figuring out right now.
Gotcha.
Yeah, those are kind of puzzles.
Yeah. Yeah. Pieces.
Whose voice are we hearing right now, just so people know what's happening?
Abby.
That's Abby.
Hi, Abby. Abby, you would know from her wonderful work in the games industry, maybe specifically Titanfall. Do you want to say a classic line from Titanfall, Abby?
Am I being made to perform?
Yeah,
on
just
you are, absolutely.
Come on, Abby.
Oh, you did a lot.
I know, because I did the
standby for Titanfall.
There we go. Abby, everybody. Yeah. Well done. Sarah from Titanfall. Okay, more questions about the beta. Here we go. Will there be PSVR support in the beta?
Sorry?
PSVR support in the beta?
Not in beta.
Not initially.
Not in the beta. No. Okay, what about multiplayer?
Online multiplayer, no.
Not online multiplayer.
No, but there'll be co-op.
Co-op. Couch.
Co-op.
And obviously there's always asynchronous online multiplayer, as in you can play the same levels and try and beat each other's scores and things. But
okay, got it.
Actual multiplayer online is coming later.
Sure. Okay, here's a general question for you. And That's a Good Thing is wondering. Little Big Planet came out at a time when the internet wasn't as huge as it is now, but Dreams is releasing at a time where every game console has a share button and social media is huge. Do you think Dreams could become the king of consumer-created content?
Of course.
No. Prime to be the king.
I mean, no. That's what we're aiming for. You know, I mean, we're hoping that we can get a lot of people making things that normally wouldn't dare make things on computers. So hopefully that'll bring in a whole sort of different set of fresh ideas. Yeah. Really.
And I think there's just so many things, like it's been amazing to see how people use YouTube and Twitch to be able to kind of share things that they've created, but also the creation process. So we sort of have this like hope that people like sort of set up like tutorials and teach people and, you know, like I think that you know, when we released LBP, which is pretty much 10 years ago now, the internet was a completely different place. And like having that share button, we use that share button internally, like all of the time. It is a core part of our development process. And the way that we share and we learn from each other, that share button is like, I don't know what, when we've used it so much. So yeah, I think that like that's a really exciting thing for us, is to see what people do.
But I mean, it's interesting that, you know, it definitely is a very different world.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be interesting to see
what do they share,
how it kind of.
I want to see if someone make lives. A game with their community live. Mm. I think that would be really fun.
That would be.
And also, like, now you deal with influencers, you know, to use that term, like, so directly when you're doing media and when you're out at events. And, you know, I think about it a lot, especially when I'm demoing Dreams. It's like, oh, hey, you know, you could just add your own voiceover and like be this character on your stream, or like do really silly stuff that isn't even the way that we think about it when we're creating like more like gamey content.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of potential there. I think they'll probably figure out even more interesting ways to use it than we've thought of.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I've been wondering just about the development of this game a little bit. I think at some point somebody mentioned that there is a pretty big reboot along the game's development, but just in general, how's the game different now than you were expecting when you started out? Did you always have this exact vision, or at the first stage were you expecting something different for the finished result?
I think this was the ambition.
Yeah, right from the beginning.
But probably at the beginning, we didn't realize actually what a big task that really was. So
he's jumping next.
Yeah, we look at it now, we can say, yeah, that is what we were talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
back then we probably would have been like, no, we don't need to do that.
I found like a presentation that Mark did, you know, right at the beginning, when we were still sort of pitching the concept into people like Shu and Michael Denny and, you know, within the Sony world. And it is it's awesome to read it, because basically it's evidence. It's hard evidence that like the vision we had right at the beginning is what we have been manifesting this whole time. And it was hard. Like it really has been you know, it's been to get to the point where you have all of the elements needed to make a game in one UI has been really challenging. So we've made some wrong bets. We've had to kind of go back on a couple of things, but ultimately all of those have advanced us forward in some way. So, you know, that's been,
I think it is safe to say the vision of it is remained consistent. It's the details that have changed a lot.
What was the reboot about then? I think Alex used the word reboot.
This happens a lot in computer games.
Usually programmers call it refactoring. You hear that as a producer, you hear that refactoring word and you're like, okay, here we go.
The analogy is we've got this rough idea of something we want to make, so let's just have a go. And you put it together with, you know, bits of wood and sellotape and things, and you end up with something that's kind of what you want, but then you realize the way that you've made it is such a mess. Now you need to go back and sort of remake it with a better idea of what the end result is.
Yeah.
So you can just do it much more structured.
And it's usually very quick, because you're not sort of designing the idea. You're more just kind of rebuilding it with all of the knowledge that you didn't have at the start of the process.
But that's happened a lot with me on various computer games.
Yeah, it's very normal.
Like Dungeon Keeper, I remember starting that from scratch completely about halfway through development.
I love Mark. Yeah. I love that you call them computer games.
I mean, it's lovely.
It's just a British thing, I guess.
A specific sort of more nerdy point, if you like, to do with that reboot was that the first version, because we knew that we wanted to support multiplayer online, we always knew that it would come later. But the point is, that first version, it would have been a complete nightmare to make it work in that, because it just wasn't really engineered with that in mind.
Gotcha.
So part of the refactoring was like, okay, we need to make sure that this is a fully deterministic engine, for example, to support multiplayer online.
Got it.
So that was one of the technical things.
Oh my gosh, we have so many specific questions to get through. JB, take the format. Here we go. Rapid fire. Here we go.
So I'll give you rapid fire answers now, then.
All right. So this is from an attack corgi, which might be the best username I've ever seen. Hey, Siobhan and Mark, I'm an architect in Vancouver with a side passion in interactive simulation for architecture. Would my small business be able to use mock-up buildings made in Dreams as a marketing tool for clients?
Everybody keeps looking at me.
Technically, yes.
Yep.
The aspect of like using a piece of software professionally, it's like to make artwork and magazine covers and things like this, there's a bunch of legal stuff that has to be gone through there with Sony, I think. But we're looking into that.
Yeah.
And obviously we want people to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's hopefully. Possible. Yes.
All right. Yep. This one's from Kevin Jennison. Will there be any templates for certain styles of gameplay? For example, if I want to make a racing game or a first-person action game, can I select something that already has those basic systems in place and just change the world around? Or I'll have to create them all from scratch?
So, yes, is the short answer. The final game will come with, obviously, some example content that we've made in the form of a story. But as well as that, there's some extra small little arcade games that we've made, which we let you pull apart, dive into, and remix, and just go in there and figure out how we've done things. So that will include a few different little genres.
So they're like
And those are the kinds of things that we'll just keep adding.
Yeah.
It's actually very quick to do something like that. And like one of our designers here, Steve Big Guns, for example, he was a big guy in the... he's got big arms, yes. But in the Little Big Planet community, he was a real star. And he's got a real passion about doing those kinds of things, actually.
Yeah.
Yes is the answer.
So basically you get the mini game and like the kit that was made to make the game in a sense?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
In case of a first-person shooter or something, we can just give you a simple level that's just got like a blank character running around a blank maze already, so you can just hit the ground running, essentially.
All right, neat. So this is from Sackboy101. When we open this game, do we spawn in our home space? Can we have several home spaces?
There's more than one. And that number will increase over time. So the home spaces are themed.
Mm-hmm.
So so within our story that we've made, we've got three kind of themes. So there'll be a home space for each of those themes.
Mm-hmm.
There's an extra one. So initially there's going to be about four different ones you can choose from.
And a blank one.
And so a blank one. The home space is basically like the ship in Little Big Planet, right?
Or like the little it's a bit like your pod. You can have
a few of them, though.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Right. Yeah.
And you can move between them. Objects as well as just decorations.
Yeah. And they'll be super cool when their online multiplayer comes, because it'll be like where you hang out.
Yeah, it'll end up doubling up as a kind of, lobby type screen.
It's the next PlayStation home.
Well, it's your home space.
Okay, all right.
So Josh Russell writes in saying he's still unsure about the status of swimmable water, both surface and submerged. I'm assuming that means like, hey, can I make it so my playable character can swim around in water?
So you can totally do that. We haven't actually got a specific water object or anything in the game, so you're just using the same tricks that other games makers have to use. So you'd use like an animated surface that your player can walk through, and then when they're in it, they sort of hover above the ground, for example. So we haven't actually got like water that you pour into things, but you can create things that look like water for sure.
People, there's a crowd out there that is so into the water in Dreams. Like when they saw like the little Cat Zelda game, as I think the internet calls it, right?
Oh, yeah,
Cat Pirate.
Yeah, exactly. People are like, what is going on with that water that looks so amazing? There's like this pornographic lust for the water in Dreams online that I didn't expect.
I think that's always been like...
But it does look beautiful, and I think it kind of is one of those things that when you see like atmospheric things within games, or like very sort of things that look like the real world, it's something, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. It makes it look like something beyond a video game. It's nice.
All of the objects in Dreams are actually made out of tiny little sprites or splats, if you like. So even the objects that look like traditional polygon things, if you zoom into them enough, you'll see that they're actually made out of lots. It's almost like atoms, if you like.
Huh.
But for doing water, the point is they're all like separate little things that can do their own thing. So we have tools that let you animate those splats, basically. So to make water is actually quite... It's pretty easy to get.
But it's like we get excited about it too. Like I remember when Christoph put in the water in the Cat Pirate game, everyone was like, "Oh, there's water!" And the same when John made Francis kind of all. But when she goes through the pond thing, it's the same thing. Everyone just gets thrilled by it.
Yeah, totally get it.
We are delighted by water.
All right, this is from Trey Kitch. Will we be able to privately share our creations and levels with friends or specific people, as opposed to like, oh, they're all public all the time?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, when you're creating, you can set up who are the collaborators on that particular dream. So that's who's allowed to actually edit and create And have we got it so that you can actually choose who can only play it?
Well, if you're if you're a collaborator,
then you can. Anyway.
Yeah, that's
I think what we haven't got at the moment is the ability to have a group of collaborators and then a separate group of.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's either like you've got your collaborators and you can just keep it amongst yourselves, or you release it to the whole of the PlayStation community.
Okay. Dark Griffin asks, will there be an editor mode support couch co-op creation? Will the editor mode support couch co-op creation?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, yes. We've got it turned off at the moment because it's got a few bugs in it, but yeah, it does actually work.
Yep.
It will come.
It will come.
Maybe it might not be there on the first day. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It depends.
All right. Marius asks, I understand that you can create with the DualShock and Move controllers and that you can play games with the DualShock. Will you be able to play some games or all games with the Move controllers, though, in both VR and non-VR?
So at the moment, the Move controllers is really for create mode. And sculpting, we have got a play mode in there as the testing thing. But I think what we'll actually do is we'll release all the functionality that lets you fully wire up the Move controllers when we do the VR drop, I think. Because most on the PlayStation 4, most people that have got a Move controllers have got it because they've got VR. So
right. When you say the VR drop, so VR might not be there at launch?
Did I say something bad? Well, we already said that before, didn't we? No, I'm talking about the beta.
Yeah,
the beta.
Oh, okay.
In the beta, the VR probably won't be there.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That's right, and it will.
Yeah.
But okay.
The final thing will have VR in it.
Yeah, we've got so many questions. All right, here we go. Flying through. Subtenko wants to know, any thoughts on PS4 camera motion capture assistance, like how Playroom VR does it?
Oh, I see.
I don't know about that.
The thing that you're doing anyway when you grab stuff and move it is a kind of motion capture, but you're talking about using the actual camera image.
I think so, yeah.
The Kinect style thing.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing to look at in the future, but that's not part of our current plans. Because to be honest with you, the reality of those things is they tend to be a bit rubbish.
Let's pass the question. We'll do the next question.
It's going to be janky. All right. Marius also asks, if people will play my level and then they come back to it later, can they save their progress?
Yes.
Okay. Zeon Knight, can you make a single system multiplayer game where a player using VR has a different view than other players that are looking at the TV?
Oh, at the moment, no. But we've got more work to do on the VR, so maybe that's one of the things we should look at, because that is a
cool idea.
That's a thing with the Sony VR in particular, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
Quite cool. Yeah.
Corvo Otano, JB's best friend, says, hey, I want to create a game with flying mechanics. Depending on my character's speed, can I change the field of view?
Yes.
Awesome. Haruvalajin, sorry, buddy, says, is it possible to control multiple characters like an RTS?
Yes.
Yes.
So, like, you know, characters mapped to different parts of the controller, like two different characters at once?
Yeah. Awesome. You've got a logic system and you've got full access to the controller. You can just wire things up so you can just invent your own game mechanics.
Yeah.
It's as flexible as something like Unity or Unreal Engine. So if you can think of it, you can... sure as hell probably do it.
Okay, well, these people are thinking of some things. Z-Ray Plus is wondering, can I make QuickTime events in the game?
We're not actually supporting QuickTime, for example, but
right.
Do you just mean like little animations that play?
Like a cutscene and then somebody does it,
Like tap square right now or you'll die. Here's a tricky one. Daniel Walker Daniel Walker wants to know, can you make a procedurally generated game?
Yes. I'm doing that right now, actually, funnily enough.
And it's working okay?
I'm randomly generating the landscapes that you sort of play across.
Oh my god, you guys are making a crazy game. Okay, Salame Nostrano says, can we apply different materials onto the same model?
Oh.
I think because they were looking at stuff where it's like, oh, it seems like...
Sorry, I think they're not in this. So when you sculpt something, you can paint different colors onto a sculpt, but each sculpt only has one particular finish, so it's shininess, whatever, but obviously there's nothing to stop you making a model out of multiple sculpts, so you could have, you know, a matte face and then a greasy beard, for example, quite easily.
My favorite look, yeah. Renegade Rock says, if I make paintings or art or music and dreams and use it as backgrounds for my poetry videos, will I be able to monetize those videos or will I get a copyright strike?
This is similar to the architect question you had before, really, isn't it? And that's
we've got more to announce on monetization.
We just need to look into that more. we obviously want to support that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. And Corey Craig is asking a similar question. I'd imagine it's the same umbrella, but just asking, is everything that's uploaded public domain?
I mean, we adhere to the same, so like everything that goes into the Dreamiverse basically adheres to the same sort of PlayStation terms of service as something like LBP. But we will have things to announce about monetization later down.
Okay, that helps.
Sorry, would love to be able to say more about it, but we're still figuring it all out.
It's so complicated, I get it.
William writes in to ask, I know there is a default puppet that can be edited, but are there any defaults that walk on four legs?
No, like, not yet. Moment.
Okay. Dwarves asks, can you only make cartoony looking games?
No.
No.
Okay. Has anybody made something borderline photorealistic in Dreams?
John Beach did that. He's got his screensaver is a scene that looks like a photograph, isn't it?
Yep. There's so many looks. Yeah. It's definitely not all just cute at all.
Snail Emily did.
There's a whole bunch of different things. The snail, which basically just looks like something from National Geographic or something. Yeah.
It's very versatile. You can do a lot of different things. So that's going to be one of the exciting things to see is just what people do actually.
Yeah.
Joseph Johanna asks, how deep can we go with animation beyond recording performances in the sock puppet style shown already, and how will it work?
So you've basically got, that's the most immediate, easy way to do things, but you've also got keyframe editing. So anyone that's done any sort of CG animation will understand what that means, but you've basically got timelines, keyframes, and curves, so that you can basically animate to your heart's content. You can go very deep and very geeky if you want to.
The Spark wants to know, would there be any tips or tricks for implementing squash and stretch in animation for puppeteering or frame by frame in Dreams?
We've kind of done that on some of our characters, but the way we've done it is we're swapping in and out different sculpts. So it's not just stretching the model. We can literally, you can definitely do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And there's also an option on any sculpt to make it sort of squashy, which means it just sort of acts a bit like jelly anyway. So yeah, there are things that sort of gear towards that. What you can't do is specifically take a mesh and sort of on uniform stretch it however you like. You can't do that.
Okay. The Spark also wants to know, they're just full of questions, will there also be any transitions or effects that can be added as if while editing video footage, or will this be left to manipulating the world itself?
That's a bunch of transitions.
I don't quite understand that question.
So like, is there going to be like a cross dissolve between videos, or will he have to do that in the world itself?
Oh, there's like the wipe gadget.
We have a bunch of
wipes.
Those.
Yeah, you've got wipes. I mean, that. You don't have the concept of a video in Dreams. Everything you make is like a real scene. So you can animate stuff, but then if you want to go from one scene to another, you can cross-dissolve that with various different wipes. You've got like radial wipes and cross-dissolves and things like this. So.
Yeah.
Right. Katako, any tips on creating clothing since Dream works with static objects, parentheses, from what I heard?
So all the meshes, all of the sort of sculptures and things are like solid sculptures. We don't have any boning. We deliberately didn't want to do that because it's just too technical and annoying to have anything. But if you want to have like flappy cloth and scarves and things, then you use the paint strokes for that. You can make those physical, so they'll actually flap around in the wind and you can attach the ends to things. So you can use those to make kind of clothes. It's not going to be as flexible as real cloth, you know, obviously, but...
Yeah. Dwayne wants to know, are there built-in tools to help us optimize the worlds we create and help reduce thermometer use?
Well, there's a thermometer, so that's there, and that's being iterated right this second to be as wonderfully useful as possible to everybody.
Will it give you
the one that helps
the sculpt detail tool.
So there's a specific tool called the sculpt detail tool. When you select that, it suddenly changes your scene into a sort of heat map where the redder meshes are the ones that are taking up more memory. And you can literally just go around and go, reduce the detail on that, reduce the detail on that. And you can just sort of gradually bring the detail down on stuff and free up some memory.
Yeah. Roger Kim wants to know, is 3D printing still a thing in Dreams?
It is still a thing. We're printing stuff all the time. Whether there's going to be a button on there from day one that lets you magically print something out of your PlayStation 4 CD port though.
That's to come. But like, yeah, it's still, we're keeping it alive internally to just, so it doesn't rot.
Okay.
We have a lot of Warhammer fans here who are, you know, very passionate about that.
Oh my God, that could be awesome. Joachim Ramjin, I think that's a Hideo Kojima character, says, what are the loading times going to look like in this game?
Oh, they're great, actually. Yep. They're really fast. Because if you're dream surfing, which is where we sort of make an automatic playlist for you, there's always room for two levels in memory. So while you're playing one, it's streaming the other. So there's literally no wait for those, so long as you're in a level for more than like 20 seconds. But in general, the levels are really small because we don't store all of the data. What we actually store is how you made the level, which sounds mental, but it's infinitely less memory than actually storing all of the data. So
that's so insane.
Some of those sculpts would be like, you know, ridiculous amounts of polygons, but we just literally store like, no, this one was made by stamping a circle and a square and then smearing a thing or whatever.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Zion Knight's got a question. Is there a setting that lets you change the sensitivity or smoothness of your movements while creating with the DualShock or the Move controllers? If so, does it work when using any tools, or is it limited to like sculpting only?
No, you've just got, in the user settings, you've got like imp sensitivity. It's just like mouse sensitivity on a PC or so, similar thing.
Okay.
So that will just affect how much you need to move your hands to get a movement on the screen.
All right, he's got another question too. I saw a live stream from 2 years ago that Kareem and Anton did, and they used a tool appropriately called the Kaleidoscope tool. It seemed like it was an extension of the mirroring sculpt tool. Since we all know things are always subject to change as a game gets developed, I was curious if the Kaleidoscope tool still exists.
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
We'll probably show it Friday when we make some spider webs, because it's super fun for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
perfect
spider webs.
It's in sculpture and in paint mode, basically, the Kaleidoscope mode.
Zia Knight is so hardcore. I love it. Like, yeah. I remember this one tool from 2 years ago. That is your community, you guys. It's a hell of a community.
Yeah. Dream Central wants to know, do you plan on adding custom server support in the future so certain dreams can host more than 10 players simultaneously? Basically, they're asking if we can do future MMO support.
I see.
Ooh, who knows? I mean, I think for us, it's like, we'll see what people really, really desperately want once we launch.
I mean, I think when we fully attack the multiplayer online side of things, that's when we'll nail all that stuff. But that's we've not even talked about that yet, to be honest with you. So,
Butter in a Bucket just wants to know, just has one question. It's just the word split screen with a question mark.
Oh, I see. So we've not done any specific support for split screen.
I think the programmers would cry.
Yeah. It was talked about at one point, but
I think the programmers cried.
Well, Alex was quite keen on it, actually.
Well,
but I always hate split screen myself. So, but no, so there's no split screen. But that doesn't mean someone probably will find a way to do some split screeny thing, and we'll be surprised.
It'll be hacked together somewhere. That's fun.
All right, Zeon Knight returns.
Oh God!
Other than the Raycast, are there any logic tools that have not really been seen yet that you would like to highlight and tell us about?
Oh God! Well, I don't know what ones you've seen, do I?
Zeon Knight's probably seen them all.
A new advanced text gadget that no one has seen yet.
Oh yeah,
that's only just gone in.
Oh, that's
today.
True.
There you go.
So there's a simple text gadget, which is putting text and stuff on the screen or in the world. But there's an advanced text gadget, which is essentially a text adventure game creator, really, as in it lets you put in an initial bit of text, but then you also can put in all of these other options that are magically selectable by the imp and all this kind of stuff. So it's quite easy to make like a branching dialogue type affair.
Which is really cool, because like that's come from like Liam made Given Time.
Yeah.
Like that was obviously an effort to make that. And a lot of people here are really inspired by being, you know, I think it seems like a good starting point for a lot of people to make a text adventure. So that's going to be good to see what people do.
Yeah, I'm all about that personally.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we need to have, because you have your song now, your Game Informer song.
What a classic. Actually, we should open the podcast with that.
Can we please do that?
Yeah, for sure.
I hope that plays at the beginning of this podcast. you can now make a text adventure to go along with it.
The newest gadget before that went in, which is a big game changer, actually, is... sounds really boring, but it's a global variable gadget. Yep. So it's a way of you transferring data from level to level, essentially.
Okay.
So, yeah, which was not easy to do in the Little Big Planet.
When you say data, can you give us an example of that?
Well, it means I can store I can store any amount of numbers that I want and have them accessible from a bunch of different levels.
Okay.
So, you know, you can have your player level or something and how many zombies you've killed or whatever, but that can be spread over like 100 levels.
Okay. So it sounds like a stats keeper sort of thing?
Yeah. It's just, you'll better use it for all kinds of things, but essentially it's a way of saving data from one level to another for creators.
All right, cool. Bob Buell wants to know, is there any feature or tool that specifically was not included in the game? Maybe something that was too complex, too simple, redundant, totally abstract, or was brought up as an option but not put into Dreams for any reason?
Well, boning. Boning, like I mentioned earlier. Yeah. So obviously it's a very common thing in computer games to make like a sort of, most characters are a bit like a rubber suit with bones in and they bend and then you have to do lots of work around here to get this bit to look nice.
Yeah. I'd like to apologize for viewers because JV chuckled when you said the word boning, and I think that's very inappropriate. That is very
I'm an adult.
I can say much funnier words than that.
The old challenge. May Campo wants to know, tell us how are musicians and artists, how are they reacting to Dreams, and what kind of collaborations do you have planned on the music scene?
So the music tools are just a thing on their own, really. They're fantastic, and there's some tracks that have been made recently and they're like, my God, that sounds like a seriously new, cool band.
Oh, you know? Yeah. So, I think actually on Friday you're going to be playing some of the really...
We have a really mad Halloween song that one of our testers did that's just, like, crazy.
Yeah, Tom Wilde is someone who came from First Party QA in Liverpool and has now joined us down here in Guildford on the team. And I was sat at home a couple of weekends ago and I played it. I was just like, how has someone come up with this all on their own? And he sang everything into the DualShock controller.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's absolutely amazing. So you should check that out.
Oh, wow.
But I think that we have had really, really great responses from different people that we're working with. Like on ArtStream, we're working with composers. And it's been really amazing to just see the different styles that people have. And actually, how into using Dreams they become of, like, once they start using the audio tools, they kind of become quite, like, really into them. So that's been really, that's been really brilliant. So
that's the thing I've really noticed with both artists and musicians is you'll get a musician starts using the music tools, but because all of the music tools and animation tools, et cetera, all in the same place, they kind of make their song and then they can't resist adding a little bit of visual to it. And then before you know it, they've made a music video to go along with their music and they start learning the other tools because they're similar rules to the sound creation tools. So that's the thing that's really cool.
And are you guys working with Kenny Young again? I think he did some work on Tearaway and also Little Big Planet 2. He also did the Astrobot soundtrack, which is one of the best soundtracks of the year.
We're not working with Kenny at the moment, but we love Kenny and we miss Kenny. And Astrobot soundtrack, he did an absolutely amazing job. So who knows? Okay. Who knows what happens?
There we go. Nonsense Gus, of course, says, hey, can you guys just put it on PC? Having something so amazing on a console that's kind of time limited is a real bummer.
I mean, we've just got to get this beta out this year, you know? Like, could we
be busy? Yeah. But that's
that's
not
a good question.
It's not beyond the realms
that's
of
a good question,
that's
we need to, like, you know, obviously we've got to get the game out.
Not beyond the realms of ellipses was Mark's quote. I love that answer. Ben Sherwin kind of has a similar question, just saying, hey, as we approach the end of the PS4 life cycle, in theory, I fear that by the time the general public starts to master the tools in Dreams, the console will be outdated. Are you guys concerned about that?
I make games for the Commodore 64 still, so I'm not going to be concerned about that.
In general, would you like to say are you future-proofing Dreams? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, if Sony did ever make another console, like they might do, then I'm sure we would just, you know, probably make Dreams work on that too, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Or something, I don't know.
Awesome. Han wants a Noble Sackboy be featured in the game.
Maybe.
Someone's actually made a Sackboy in it.
Yeah, in fact, we're doing a Little Big Planet homage stream for the birthday, the 10th birthday of Little Big Planet.
Oh, cool.
On the 2nd, because this is, I think, the official global birthday was the 27th of October, and then the sort of community celebrated birthday is the 5th of November. And because it's a Friday, we just don't want to stream on Monday. We're doing one on the 2nd. But yeah, we're doing a little homage to LVP and Dreams. And
that's cool. Well, yeah. Then we can actually one of the things that was really cool quite early on was Sir Christoph, who's one of the designers that we have here. He was also one of the Little Big Planet community members, and he came to work here after LBP1. And I thought it was really cute that one day I kind of was looking through his creations and I noticed that he'd made a Sackboy. And I just thought, oh, that's so nice. So I was asking him about it. But of course, like, you sort of forget, like, how much people love, like, you know, how much everyone on the team. We don't talk about LBP all the time, but, like, it only takes, like, a few minutes for us to talk about it to just become, to beam with the pride. So it was really cool to see Christoph make his, like, he just gone and made this homage level for LBP just in his spare time.
I hate to
John
sound...
John Beach Time Spaces looks like the pod.
John Beach made the pod, the LBP pod. Yeah, so Sackboy's, he's been around.
He's always around. I hate to sound like the dumb marketing guy here, but how important do you think Sackboy was to the success of Little Big Planet? Like, how important is it to have that singular mascot that, like, this is the face of this shockingly complex game?
For LBP, it was really important.
That was really important for LBP, I think. That was what made my mum like it.
Oh, interesting.
She just goes, looks like you when you were a little kid.
So. And now she looks at art and she's like, I don't know if I like this dude.
So I think for Little Big Planet, that was a big part of its success, to be honest with you.
And I think also at that time, because, you know, there weren't as many things on console at that point that were doing creative gaming. I think Sackboy kind of really lowered that barrier to entry because people could just see him and like that and then go to the next step.
Yeah.
So I think he was really important. That's an amazing character. Like, you know, I think just, I often just think, like, you know, to be able to make a character like that, that's so iconic. It's kind of a really, it doesn't happen all the time.
And that was.
But it's one of those, it was a really serendipitous moment for that all to come together, is it?
Yeah, and that was Francis in the studio who also designed Foxy and Francis, the character in Dreams then?
Yeah. And has done a lot of the work on the imp as well.
Okay.
And there's just so many really amazing little imps. I'm really excited to see what people do with their little imps.
Yeah, the cursor, basically. Power Spell 13. Oh, hang on, Mark's going to grab something. I think it's several imps. There we go. For the audio listeners, it's very confusing for the camera, but that's perfect. Why don't we have that the whole time? That's lovely. Powerspell 13 wants to know, do you guys think you'd ever return to Little Big Planet in the future?
Quite possibly. Who knows?
This is like a carry-on, or maybe Little Big Planet will come to us.
Yes.
I think Dreams is like our sort of, it is a successor to LBP in our minds. It's it's all in
it's
the
a
same.
Continuation
it's a continuation
in my head.
That's the word I was writing.
So specifically some Sackboy and stuff, though. I mean,
there's
nothing to stop us making some Sackboy games in Dreams.
Oh, interesting. That's fun.
That's a cool character.
Hey, here's a deep cut. What's the story behind Little Big Planet Hub that was announced so long ago?
Oh, you'll have to. That was XDev.
I don't even know what that means.
So, that's not out. We'd moved off LBP by that time.
Okay, so that was like the free-to-play thing that I don't think ever came out for PS3. But okay, so that wasn't you guys.
Need to talk to the LBP people.
Gotcha. All right.
Probably explain it to me at one point, but I just...
Yeah. Sure. Joe Bob wants to know, will future Media Molecule products be built in the Dreams engine?
We will be working,
that
making
is the
things
plan.
In Dreams for a while,
That is the plan,
That's super cool. Keanu Reeves writes in, good God. And he says, why have we not seen any remakes or homages of current popular PlayStation exclusives within Dreams?
Because we have to make Dreams.
because Shu would probably come along and go, what the hell are you doing?
Really? Don't you think he'd like it? Is it something where it's like you don't want to push out there? Like, clearly the trailer that would get the most views, not to, again, do marketing for you guys, would be like, hey, here's God of War made in Dreams. Go. Like, the community would eat that shit up.
That's a totally possible to do. I was thinking what we should actually do is the trailer from Death Stranding.
Oh no!
Like, with you in real
put
life,
a bit of my face in there or whatever.
For the audio listeners, Mark looks exactly like Norman Reedus. It is uncanny, like a younger, more handsome Norman Reedus.
Exactly.
Jose Almantov has a similar question saying, will you guys do any collaborations with other developers from Sony? Maybe even after the game comes out, would you like encourage them to make something?
Yeah, we love that idea.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
Who knows? Maybe it's already happening. Might even already be happening. Who knows?
Oh, well, I think you guys said that one PSVR developer is working with Dreams already, right?
Did we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. That was interesting. Okay, yep. here's another pitch. Again, not to do your marketing for you, but I'll just lay it out there. Here's what you do. Like, you know, they didn't have the PlayStation Experience or whatever this year. Just have like a PlayStation live stream where they announce like 15 indie games. It's like, hey, all PlayStation 4 exclusive. Here we go. And then at the end, like a little imp pops out or something, and you reveal that all those games were actually made in Dreams the whole time.
That is a very cool idea.
That's totally the dream.
So it's the future. Okay.
JV's wincing, but Abby, I noticed, is furiously writing down that idea as a wonderful idea. All right, that's not important.
We like it.
Okay, good. ImSpace is wondering, are you guys thinking about having a launch party at Media Molecule when Dreams comes out? Or when the game goes live midnight?
No, why would you want to do that?
I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm on countdown to champagne.
What would the weather be like outside when that launch party for Dreams happens? I'm curious.
England, the weather's the same all of the time.
Damn it! England!
England kind of operates in a sort of similar weather scenario.
It might be grey.
We're getting randomly nice weather, actually, because of global warming, I think. So.
Oh, okay. So it could be any day of the year in 2019 when Dreams comes out. All right, that fits. Anything else you guys want to say? Anything you want to clear up?
I think you know all the... I mean, you have the questions. Is there anything else you wanted to ask us?
I mean, that's it. Obviously, people want to know the beta. They want to know when it's coming out. Can you give any time frame in 2019?
I think we just have to say we'll let everyone know as soon as possible.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Any critiques of our coverage? Anything that we posted throughout the month, you're like, oh, that's not quite right.
We have a whole set of things.
Fix Hanson's voice.
That's been great. It's been awesome. It's been really, really brilliant to like see the reaction to the cover and like all the videos and just like it's been really very like the team, you know, like right now the team is so in the thick of it. And like, you know, all the things we've been telling you about like just, you know, the efforts everybody's put in and the refactoring, all these various different moments that we sort of just really needed. We needed it. And it's been such a good boost. So we really, yeah. You know, it's been awesome. So thank you for visiting us, and thanks for all your coverage. It's been awesome.
And that song will be used at the top of the podcast.
Exactly. Yes.
And like closing. Okay, dude, just checking.
Good, because we love it.
I don't know why you love it, but yeah. Thank you guys for opening your doors in the studio for 2 days. That was really generous.
Thank
just to
give so
that
much.
Extended hands-on for the game. It's an incredible thing, and I cannot wait to see what
the
internet
does
with this.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it out in the wild. Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
In theory, this year with the beta.
All right, cool.
Cool. All right. Thanks so much for time, guys.
All right. Thanks. Have a good day.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that's it. Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Game Informer Show. Remember to subscribe to the audio version if you just watched the video version of this. If you enjoyed this interview, we thought it was informative. We'd always appreciate it if you shared it, told a friend about it, other Dreams fanatics in your life. Everybody has at least a few, right, JV?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they're all over the place. Yeah. It's going to be exciting when the game comes out. And also, there's a ton of coverage at GameInformer.com/streams. So if you haven't been checking that out, the hub is now complete and full and has a lot of info and gameplay packed in there. So definitely check it out. But thanks for watching and listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.